can. In a moment, Darwin set to welcome a new disaster relief team. Also, keep your texts coming through this morning about how you are feeling, you know, your anxiousness, concern, thinking that you've got COVID all the time, every time you've got a sweat or a headache or a sore throat or a tickle in the throat even, or a tiny cough. Did I have COVID? Have I got COVID? Am I spreading it? The word we're wanting to describe it, suspect, is the best one that Joe got out of you this morning. Jamie suggested on this program, COVID-noia. It's quite good. Rob, virus-nitis. Helen suggests psych-COVID. It's quite good. Ronachondria is everywhere, reckons Phil on the text 0487 991 0057. Peter in Berrima says, morning, Adam. What about COVID? That's how we're all feeling here, says Peter in Berrima.
You're listening to Adam Steer.
It just seems to make sense because, you know,
it's about what is best for the Northern Territory.
On ABC Radio Darwin and on the ABC Listen app.
When disaster strikes, you want as many hands on deck as possible. Good news for Darwin and the Territory. There's a new disaster relief team that will be launched right here and could also be a life-changing opportunity for our local defence veterans. Ben Watson is a former Northern Territory police officer, has served in the army. He's in charge of launching the disaster relief team here in Darwin. Ben, good morning. Welcome to ABC Radio Darwin. What exactly are you trying to set up here?
Good morning, Adam. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm from Disaster Relief Australia. We are a non-for-profit, non-government organisation that gets out and gets the veteran community, being ADF veterans and also emergency services, and motivated civilian volunteers into areas that have been impacted by natural disasters and the like, getting out there, helping the people, getting on the ground, doing some of the hard work. We do this, basically it is a double-edged sword. We firstly are helping the community, but also it gives our veterans and our first responders a bit of something to do, helps them sort of with the challenges after they leave service, by giving them something that's familiar to them, working with motivated people again, and helping them to sort of re-engage with the community.
So the veterans that we're talking about, are they doing this on a volunteer basis or are you paying them?
No, so this is a volunteer organisation. People can come along. It doesn't cost them anything. We provide national accredited training, whether that be doing chainsaw courses, using pole saws, doing excavator work, mental health, advanced first aid, and we have a very unique capability being our airborne damage assessment teams, which is using drones that can go out and actually map a disaster area so we can see where we can best be utilised and what we can do best to assist the community.
So disaster relief, it's a national program. How do you work with organisations like the SES across the country?
Yeah, so basically we found that Australia, the Australian community and Australian government's really, really good at dealing with the disaster when it happens. Where that stopgap after the disasters happen, the firefighters and the like have packed their hoses up and headed off, and the community's just sort of left there. We're able to come in, put down our own command structure, and then get out there and start working. At the same time, we are able then to feed information back, whether it be to government and to other non-government organisations, and give them information of who needs the help and where that help can best be sent to.
And what's the reaction been from the Northern Territory government? I know in my covering of cyclone disasters in the top end of Australia, I've often seen the police, the TG, the Tactical Response Group police, out with chainsaws, you know, cutting up so people can have access to houses and buildings and so forth. Again, I imagine the Northern Territory government might be quite happy for a disaster relief team set up in Darwin.
Yeah, well, it definitely gives them a extra tool to be able to pull, be pulled out and be used. At the moment, we are just at the stage where we are setting up, starting to get all the equipment and infrastructure sent up to here, and starting to do the sort of recruitment pull, and we'll start training hopefully in March. So by the time we get to next cyclone season, you will have trained up, motivated volunteers that are able to deploy as soon as needed.
Okay, so if you are listening at the moment, and you think, oh, I could do that if I was a veteran, I want to be recruited. How do people go about contacting you?
Yeah, well, firstly, I suppose the easiest thing to do is jump on the Google, type in Disaster Relief Australia, and you'll find our page straight away. It's quite big, like we said, we're national, so we've got teams in every state. Once my team launches here in the NT and a team launches in Launceston, Tasmania, we'll have disaster relief teams in every state. We should also start having a bit of a more media presence and social media sort of campaign just to get the word out, hey, we're here. We were going to be launching last Saturday, but due to the COVID situation, we've had to hold that off. And there'll be a proper sort of premiere sort of launch event occurring in April, just before Anzac Day.
You're on ABC Radio Darwin. Adam Steer with you. Ben Watson, a former Northern Territory police officer, has also served in the army. He's in charge of launching the disaster relief team here in Darwin. Now, you said before, Ben, this is a double-edged sword because it provides a volunteer service to the community, but also helps particularly veterans who are trying to come back into the general population. What happens when veterans get involved in these teams? What sort of impact can it have on their lives?
Well, I think everyone, especially the public's got this perception that, once you leave defence, you're broken. And, that's not necessarily always the case. If we've got veterans, if they're in a position where they're able to monitor and look after themselves, then we've got a job for them, regardless of whether they've got medical injuries and stuff like that might stop them from being able to lift up a chainsaw or throw a log around. We've got back of house jobs, we've got logistics, we've got planning, we've got public relations and things like that. So we can find, if someone's motivated and they want to be involved, we can find a position where they can help. For me, I found it just such a rewarding sort of situation to go over to Perth and assist with the bushfire recovery in the Perth Hills last year. I was, you're working with like-minded sort of people. Everyone sort of got a shared focus, a shared goal. And just to be back in, to be in a supportive sort of mateship sort of environment, that, sometimes we when we leave defence, we sort of struggle to find that outside of our sort of military cohort. So having something that, that is really familiar allows people to, just have those conversations while you're working hard. There's something special about, a bond that's made, while you're sort of in the adverse conditions, sweating it out together, and then being able to see, hey, I am actually having a direct impact. I am still sort of worthy and, doing something worthwhile and helping people. And then seeing the, members of the public that you've helped, just seeing them actually be able to go, hey, I have lost everything, but now I've got a start point to rebuild my life. So you do get to have a direct impact.